You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's Friday. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that
we
do?
We give the people what they want.
We have some interesting sound from Aaron Rodgers. We have an update on the availability and limitations or lack thereof on Dak Prescott. But we start the show with some new news from New Orleans. Jameis Winston, we all knew it was going to happen, but now it's official. He has been named the starter of the Saints. He said he wants to carry the torch from Drew Brees and stay with the Saints a long time. Do you see him as the long-term quarterback in New Orleans?
David Jacoby, the answer is yes, and I'm already making him my favorite story of redemption for this year's NFL season. Now, here's a guy a couple of years ago that led the NFL in passing. He threw over 30 touchdowns, but he also broke the interceptions record. And then he had to go find a new location. His previous location as Tom Brady and wins the Super Bowl. He goes to New Orleans, sits behind Drew Brees, gets into a quarterback battle with Taysom Hill, and then all of a sudden has to earn his way back via his contract, now his opportunity to be a starting quarterback. When we look around the league in a couple of years, I'm looking at you in particular, Pittsburgh. I believe they're going to be a couple of squads that should have taken flyers on Jameis that didn't. Now, Sean Payton's going to take advantage of his potential. He's going to unlock his potential. Hopefully, they get Michael Thomas back healthy. Alvin Kamara is extremely explosive. This is going to be a great opportunity for Jameis to shine.
We know what Sean Payton did with Drew Brees over those games. And we know what he did with Teddy Bridgewater. And last year, he messed around and put in Taysom Hill. I think it was just to try to challenge himself or something. But it's just preseason. But Jameis Winston has looked good in this preseason. And you mentioned it. He can always throw the ball down the field. However, sometimes it just ends up in the wrong people's hands. Sean Payton is going to work with him, get down the turnovers, because we know the explosiveness, the touchdowns are there. And listen, even without Mike Thomas, he's got some weapons that he can throw to. And then Mike Thomas should be coming back this season. I'm going to say it. I'm very high on this. I'm very high on Jameis Winston with the Saints. I think he's going to be with the Saints for a while. I think he is going to have a successful season. Hopefully, they can put it together as a team in a tough division. Next. We have this from the Dallas Cowboys. They're saying that there are no limitations on Dak Prescott. None at all. Forget the shoulder MRI, forget the ankle. But, Jalen, do you think that a healthy Dak makes them a favorite in the NFC East?
It does, and it makes them my favorite, as a matter of fact. And it's because of number four. Shout to Jalen Hurts in Philly. I know that they're not going to win the division this year, but I'm rooting for him to do well. And Washington has a stout defense, but I think the Cowboys are going to put it together the best, led by Dak. In particular, if their offensive line can be healthy, Ezekiel Elliott can run the football and hold on to it and not fumble six times. They have weapons on offense. You know
that,
right? You know they still have Amari Cooper, right? You know they got CeeDee Lamb, right? They have weapons. And Dak, before last year, extremely durable. Extremely durable.
That's a great point.
The first part of his career. So I think once he gets back under center, if they're able to protect him, I think he'll be just fine without a pitch count.
And you look at what Dak did before he got hurt, and he played in all 16 regular season games in 2016 through 2019.
Correct.
He was very durable.
Yes.
If he's healthy, I think it's great for the Cowboys. However, in my mind, it does not make them the favorites to win the NFC East. I had that going to the Washington football team because you mentioned their stout defense. Their defense isn't just stout. It is almost impossible to score on them. Chase Young, Sweat. They got a guy named Payne on the line. Holcomb, Bostic. Like,
They have, everyone just talks about Chase Young, but they have one of the best defenses in the entire league. And they almost beat the Bucks in the playoffs with a guy named, like, Heinicke. Like, I've never heard Heinicke before last year. And Jalen, they brought in the journeyman, the bearded one. Ryan Fitzmagic is going to wave his magic wand and win the NFC East. They are my favorite. We'll kind of keep track of this throughout the season, Mr. Rose. I think that there's still some magic left in Fitzpatrick, and that defense is going to hold opposing teams to under 20 almost every single week.
I don't have to tell this to people that play fantasy, but their receiver McLaurin is a beast too. He's gonna have a big year. And I'm not mad at that, except if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have Dak under center and they have Ryan Fitzpatrick under center and they beat you this year, that's not good going forward. Because I think Washington is doing what the Denver Broncos did a few years ago when they added Peyton Manning. Build it and they will come. A quarterback at some point is going to shake loose. We don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson's situation, Aaron Rodgers' situation. Oh. And so we're going to be having this conversation. So I'm going to just put it out there right now. In Washington, build it, they will come. But I think this is the Cowboys' year to win this division.
That's interesting because Fitzpatrick could play 1 year, and then the quarterback of the Washington football team with that defense on the other side of the ball could be Aaron Rodgers, because we all know what the situation is in Green Bay. And here is what he had to say about his expectations this season.
Look, I think we all know what's at stake, and I talked about that a little bit the other day about perspective and how important that perspective is to focus on this season and enjoy. So we're just going to enjoy this season. It's title town. It's championship or disappointment, just about every year.
Championship or disappointment. Jalen Rose, I have a theory. Even if they win the championship, he's gone regardless. What do you think about him saying championship or disappointment?
Well, it's not like he's not speaking on a team that hasn't been in the NFL version of the Final Four the last 2 years. And so we can't allow what's happening with him and management not seeing eye to eye cloud our judgment or what we saw from them as a football team. And they also have a great defense, by the way. They also have Devontae Adams, who could probably be in his final year with the team. So this is a really good football team, and he just so happens to be the reigning MVP. Like, Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP. So I understand where he's coming from, but I, like you, believe that this is going to be his final season with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think bringing in Randall Cobb is going to keep him around there. You know what I mean? He even mentioned bringing Clay Matthews. I don't know if he was serious, but he's really trying to, like, bring back the old pack from when he was playing quarterback. But something tells me that whether they win a championship or not, this is Aaron Rodgers' final year in Green Bay. And you teased it earlier in the show, Mr. Rose. I'm going to go all the way there. Imagine him on the Washington football team next season with the defense that they have. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
We want to be starting something. We got to be starting something.
We'll be talking about that all next summer. What we can talk about now is a piece of video that is so perfect that needs to be broken down in detail. So you and I need to go to the table. Well, during the Astros game, you know how sometimes they show the fans in the crowd? That happens very often. But this fan seemed to notice that he was being shown on the broadcast and changed his behavior in regards to the woman next to him. Mr. Rose, what do you think happened in this video?
Well, what had happened was he wasn't supposed to be at the game, or he was supposed to be at the game, but not at the game with that person. This is a case of I could be where everybody wanted me to be. When everybody wanted me to be there, I'd be confused. Shout out to Chris Tucker.
I gotta say something. I don't know what's happening here, but something tells me that there's someone that he doesn't want to see this. That's all I know. That right now, he's in watching Jalen Jacoby on ESPN be like, I thought I got away with this. This was a couple nights ago. No one really talked about it.
Hit a little chicken wing.
And look at the guy in the gray shirt next to him. He's watching it. Look at the guy in the gray shirt with the glasses. He's like, oh, you're really just going to take your hand off of her like that when you're on TV. I love this so much. I love this video so much. She's oblivious to the whole thing. She doesn't know she's being shown. He makes eye contact with the camera and then just slowly tries to slide his hand off it. There's someone named Sarah that's very upset. Someone named Sarah is very upset that we're showing this on ESPN right now. And that guy is also very upset with us. I would like to
apologize to him. I'm sure it was just a coincidence. I'm sure we misread the situation.
You're such an instigator.
Yeah, I'm not allowed in Houston for like the next 3 years. Next, Ben Simmons. Will he be back with the 76ers? There's an interesting report that suggests he might. Stay tuned for that. You're watching Jalen.
He looked good in a Pistons uniform.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Coming to you live from the Seaport here in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Anthony Rose, we have some news about something we've been covering closely all summer long. There is a report from CBS Sports that the Sixers could be preparing to have Ben Simmons in camp on the roster after trade rumors all summer. What do you think the chances are Ben Simmons starts the season with the Sixers?
So let's not cloud what you saw with Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter against the Atlanta Hawks with the fact that he's a uber talented player that just doesn't attempt shots outside of the paint. So those are two different things. So if you're feeling you're trying to move him after that, you're just not gonna get the value play in return. He's gonna have to come to camp and play his value back up. And when you do an extension with Joel Embiid, I'm pretty sure you talked to him about the future of Ben Simmons. And so you bring him back to camp, you start the season with him, you hope that he plays remotely like he was playing last year as he became a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, as he can flirt with triple doubles. There's so many valuable things he can bring to the table. Then if and when that value re-elevates, that's when you try to move him, especially for what they're going to be asking for in return.
Absolutely. When you look at the sort of timeline of this, is you mentioned their loss to the Hawks. It was disappointing. He was particularly disappointing in the fourth quarter. He got all the blame. You know, the blame pie? They just threw that thing right in his face after the series was over. So then we expect there to be a deal. No deal is made before the draft. You think, all right, maybe there'll be a deal on draft day. No deal is made on draft day. If right now, at the end of August, there is no deal, likely he will be back, and they'll wait to see what happens before the trade deadline or midseason, because maybe a team that has somebody that's interesting to the 76ers doesn't start very well and thinks that Ben Simmons can help. And hopefully Ben Simmons does sort of change his reputation, because the last time we saw him on a basketball court, he didn't perform that well. So like you, I think he does start the season with the Sixers, but I think Daryl Morey spends every single day calling other GMs trying to change the fact that he is on the Sixers, because these two don't seem committed to each other long term. Jalen, Ben Simmons was watching Chris Paul and the Suns as they made their way into the finals. It was a great NBA finals, and in that environment, CP3 said he got addicted to going to the finals. Do you think he will make a return trip to feed the addiction?
You know how much I love Chris Paul, and shout to the support he's given to JRLA scholars over the years. They get a chance to go to his camp in North Carolina. I'll say this though, Dan Marino, when he went to the Super Bowl, he felt the same way. When I went to the finals in 2000, I felt the same way. And unfortunately for Chris Paul, I'm happy he got his 4 years and his top dollar, but I don't believe the Phoenix Suns are gonna be going back to the NBA Finals. And by no means is that a diss. It was a special season, and the conference continues to improve. I'm not saying that they're not gonna be a top four team. I believe they'll still be a top four team. I still think they'll get out of the first round. I still think they're a contending caliber team. But have you seen the Lakers roster?
Yes, I have.
Okay, they still have LeBron and AD, right?
Yes, they do.
And the latter guy's going to be dominant this year. I think we forget how good he really is. And let me see. Did Russ average a triple-double more last year?
That was last year.
Okay, got it. So that's why I say Chris Paul, I'm happy he's addicted to the finals, but I don't think the Phoenix Suns will be getting back.
Yeah, the only way the Phoenix Suns come back is if some of their young players make absolute leaps. Like Ayton turns into like a perennial all-star, and their young wings just really step up and get better because Chris Paul, Bridges, Booker cannot do it alone. But I don't really see that happening, but I'm glad he's addicted. And like you, when you got addicted to the finals, I do not believe that he is going to return. Mr. Rose, Joe Burrow is going to return to the football field. He is going to play this Sunday or Saturday, this weekend, for the Bengals. Do you think it's a good idea to play Joe Burrow after he just had surgery with torn ACL and MCL?
Absolutely. By the way, he had one of the greatest collegiate seasons ever at LSU. He was out there balling. And then he came in as a number one pick. And not only was he putting up big numbers, but that his usage was extremely high. And then he got hurt. And so as a young player, you don't play him every preseason game, but it's okay to play him in the final preseason game, use it as a precursor, as a warm-up to get him ready for the regular season. I'm not mad at this at all.
I think this is a smart decision, but I will say this. Unlike other quarterbacks, like I love Joe Burrow. Remember the cigar after winning the national championship for the LSU Tigers? Like I just really like him. He's so accurate when he passes the short passes, long passes. But he gives me more anxiety as a football player than anybody else. When he's back there and he's on the run, I just get worried about him. I worry about Joe Burrow in ways I don't worry about other quarterbacks. So I don't know if I can watch Bengals games this year. It is not bad for my, it's not good for my health. So we talk about Joe Burrow. He was the number one pick last year. And they had a pretty good rookie class. You know, Herbert comes to mind and Burrow. But this year's rookie class has a handful of quarterbacks that will or hope to be the sort of franchise quarterbacks for the teams that drafted them. Of this mix of quarterbacks, the sort of the big five, we'll call them, which player do you think is in the best position moving forward with their team to be successful for like a decade?
I understand the enthusiasm for this class, but I have to say each of these guys have been offseason Hall of Famers, right? All-season Hall of Famers. I can make a case for a gold jacket for each of those guys this offseason, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the actual answer to your question would be about winning. And this season, Trey Lance has a better chance to win because he's joining a team that just was in the Super Bowl a couple of seasons ago. It feels like it's only a quarterback away. And they run the football really well. You know my guy Mozart is going to be out there balling this year. And so that's the strength of their attack. And he's going to be able to ease himself in. Now, long term, Justin Fields. But I'm thinking about also, when we talked about Joe Burrow, that reminded me of Trevor Lawrence. Like, when you go number one, you're going to a really bad team. And so you said you feel for Joe Burrow's health. I believe you're going to be saying that about Trevor Lawrence this year.
I already do in the preseason. I worry about Lawrence. And I believe the answer to this question is Justin Fields, and I'll tell you why. This hasn't been reported yet, but they're actually taking down the Michael Jordan statue in Chicago and putting up a Justin Fields statue. Like, he's already the best quarterback they've had in like 30 years. I mean, Justin Fields is giving this city so much hope, and they're going to get behind him. Like, Andy Dalton is going to be the most hated person in Chicago. I mean, I almost feel bad for him. But Justin Fields, in my belief, from what I've seen, which is just preseason, will develop into the greatest quarterback that this franchise has had since what, like, I don't know, Cutler had a good year? Like Justin Fields is already a hero in the Windy City. That's why I think he's in the best position moving forward.
And also, Chicago wants to run the football at their core, and they want to play physical defense, which means Mac and that defense has to return. And I was doing the Eddie Jackson dance because, you know, he's one of my favorite D-backs. Like, they got to get back to that, too, especially if they're going to be having a rookie quarterback out there at some point.
Jalen, the New York Yankees have now won 12 straight games. The longest winning streak since Maris and Mantle were out there. Jalen Rose, what do you think about the Yankees hot streak?
Well, this is what we expect when you put Judge and Stanton together. And shout to Aaron with the late RBI to close the deal. And what about Chapman? Came in to shut him down as an ace. I want to ask you, however, you're a Red Sox fan. You finally admit it this year. The better question is, how are you doing watching the Yankees win 12 straight for the first time since '61?
It doesn't feel good. It also doesn't feel good to see my son walking around the house with a Yankees hat on when I grew up in Massachusetts. It doesn't feel good that this streak also coincides with some trouble for the Red Sox. It doesn't feel good that they got swept. It doesn't feel good that I went to the Yankees-Red Sox game and watched the Yankees hit 2 home runs and win 2-0. Seems like they hit 2 home runs every single game. They hit 2 home runs. Last night they had a 438-foot and a 419-foot home runs. Like, they're not just hitting home runs. They're hitting bombs. The Bronx Bombers are back. Congratulations to all my Yankee fans. And friends, including my son Quincy. Jalen, I don't want to do this, but I am going to do this. I don't want to buy the Jake Paul fight this weekend, but I am going to buy the Jake Paul fight this weekend. We will get you ready for Tyron Woodley, Jake Paul, right after this. Stay tuned. UFC Fight Night tomorrow, 10 p.m. ESPN Plus, Barboza versus Chikadze in the main event. Two top 10 featherweights face off. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it's that time again. It's the time when I try to convince myself not to buy a Jake Paul fight and end up buying a Jake Paul fight and end up being disappointed. It happens every single time. He's fighting Tyron Woodley, probably his most dangerous opponent that he's fought. How interested are you in watching this fight?
Woodley is dangerous, but he's, what, 14, 15 years older than Paul.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an MMA bout. They're going to be standing up clearly. So Jake Paul has a type. And you know what that type is? He always chooses people that's boxing for the first time. That's what I noticed. He chooses people that's boxing for the first time. So I like you. I'm going to watch the fight. But don't be surprised, Jacoby, that you're not gonna see him get knocked out. I know that's what you wanna see.
That's what I wanna see.
I know, that's what you wanna see.
I feel like I should get a refund if he doesn't get knocked out. Because time and time again, I think he's gonna get knocked out, he doesn't get knocked out, and we're gonna have to talk about it on Monday at 2 p.m. on ESPN.
Have a great weekend. Appreciate the love.